I feel very called to become a member of the Catholic Church.
Love the Catholic Church. It's just the best place to be.
From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line. In North America, call toll-free 1-800-585-9396. That's 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. You can also send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
A tremendous Thursday to each and every one of you. Thanks so much for taking a little time out of your Thursday to join us here on EWTN's Open Line. We're talking the new evangelization. Father Larry Richards is not in the house yet, but he should be in the house momentarily. So if you have a question for Father Larry, get in line at 1-800-585-9396. Toll free anywhere in North America, 1-800-585-9396. If you're outside the United States and Canada, your number is 1-205-271-2985, and we'll put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. You can send us an email, openline@ewtn.com, or you can text your question to Father Larry. Text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Text your first name and your question. Message and data rates may apply. I'm Jack Williams. The lovely and talented Elena Rodriguez produces the program. Your call screener, Mr. Matt Gubensky and Jeff Burson, handling all of our social media endeavors. Our host, as he is every Thursday, the pastor of St. Joseph Parish Bread of Life Community in Erie, Pennsylvania, although that's not, I don't think, where he's at. It's Father Larry Richards. Where are you at?
I am there. I'm home in Erie.
What's the problem? Why are you on the telephone?
I have no idea.
Okay.
It says it's online. It's just nothing's coming through.
Technologically challenged, Father Larry, on the line for everybody.
Challenged. It's you guys, not me. You guys.
1-800-585-9396. Now, Father Larry, behave yourself because we have some special guests in the studio, Bob and Kelly Roper from Kansas City. They help out with our longtime affiliate, Jim O'Loughlin, and the whole group there at the Catholic Radio Network in the Kansas City area. So they're sitting in and listening, so leave your pagan self
behind. As long
behind.
As it's not Dr. Ray, that's fine.
Well, we've got a little surprise for you there later. 1-800-585- did you catch that I said little surprise?
Yeah.
1-800-585-9396 is our toll-free number. Hey, we've got full phone lines. How about if we just go to the phones right off the bat? What do you think?
Let's do it.
First up is Toby. He's our leadoff hitter today in Fairmont, West Virginia. He's listening on the EWTN app. Toby, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello,
Toby.
Larry.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good today. I'm doing great. I got to visit your church actually last Sunday too. After our question.
Was I here?
Very nice.
Very nice.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. What's up?
My question. Mind, I've been friends with for about 30 years, and he was the first Catholic really I ever met, and happened to be the first fallen away Catholic. And I converted about 4 years ago, and he asked me the same questions a lot of the fallen away Catholics around me asked. Why would you want to do that? And just kind of thought it was kind of crazy. But basically, the long and short of this is he was trapped the week after Easter, and his family was to meet him in Rome, and he wanted to take him to the Vatican the next day. And something tragic happened to him, which I won't go into the details. But what ended up happening was he went to confession while he was at the Vatican, and he went to Mass for the first time in 5 years.
Great.
So, yeah, it was great. He called me and told me about it about 2 weeks ago, and I was floored about that. I was so happy. And then he asked me a question. He said, I'd like to go to Mass with you. And I said that would. Now the only thing is, I don't want to be. I'm real enthusiastic, and I love the rules of the church, and those kind of things have really appealed to me since I've converted. But I've noticed that a lot of the fallen away Catholics around me maybe not so much so crazy about those kind of things. That's one thing. And the second thing is, we live about 30 miles apart. I actually gave my first confession at a church that's right near his house. But also he could come to my church where his family down, but they don't actually go to my church. But just kind of wonder what your thoughts were about this, the situation.
Again, my biggest thing is what we do with everybody is we love them into the faith, and that's all you do. You just sit there and don't worry about it, because you're not going to do squat to this guy. The Holy Spirit inside of you is going to do it all, huh? And so that's the biggest thing. So if you're praying to the Holy Spirit and you're saying, just use me, and you keep focusing on loving this guy, that's when you're going to do the best stuff, you know, because, again, the church, if it's just rules, is nothing. If that's all we are, we have nothing. The church is about Jesus. And when we're in love with Jesus, then as he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So it's love first, commandments second, always. From the very beginning, that's the way God dealt with Adam, Moses. He set his people free from slavery, and then he gave them the commandments. And so too many Catholics sometimes, not you, but other ones, sit there and they're always talking about the commandments, the people who have never been experienced being set free from Jesus. And when we do it backwards, that's why people run from us, is because they're going, listen, I don't even know this Jesus, and you're telling me to follow all these rules or I'm going to hell. Well, I'd rather go to hell, as a matter of fact. You know, so that's the reality, that we keep doing what we do. So I just, if you're a friend to him and you keep being a friend to him and you pray for him and you pray with him, wow, great things can happen. What a blessing he's come back.
Does that help, Toby?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Great. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
1-800-585-9396 is our toll-free number, 1-800-585-9396. Father, why do you think it is that we tend to be like that, that we kind of get things backwards when we're dealing with folks?
I don't know. I think it's a lot
us, the way we were in the beginning, you know, so that's the way we came to know Jesus, so we have to sit there and I know I do it my own self, and that's part of the reality that, okay, God, it's always about you first, you know, because sometimes we're trying to earn salvation. So if someone gives me some black and white things for me to do, I feel good about it. Look at all these things I'm doing. So I have my check mark that things, so God must love me all the more because this is what I'm doing. But there's lots of reasons.
Next up is Mario. He's in Valdosta, Georgia, listening to EWTN Radio. Mario, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you doing?
I'm blessed, Mario. How are you?
Not too bad. My question is in regards to kind of all prophecies that have been completed. I have a friend who's putting up a lot of things on Facebook because he has a kind of like an online ministry. But he's putting out there that prophecies of Jeremiah or Revelations are going to be coming to pass or have been coming to pass. And my question is specifically, haven't all revelation or prophecies of the Bible been completed? And if there are any that are left, what are they to be completed?
Well, most of the prophecies that, you know, most prophecies in both the Old and New Testament have a twofold things. One's they were talking to the community right there, and then they had a future prophecy. So a lot of the Old Testament and New Testament have prophecies, even the whole book of Revelation. The first 20 chapters of the book of Revelation have already occurred. You know, it's a story written to a community that was in distress, and this is the way he talked to them. Now, the last two chapters have not. That's about the end times when Christ comes. Not the whole book of Revelation, but the last two chapters of it. And so when it comes to people, you know, it's kind of like when people are talking about how, you know, the rapture is coming, and that's from the scripture. A lot of that stuff is bad interpretations of scriptures. And the way you can tell it's bad interpretations is because they were never even considered for the first almost 2,000 years of the church. You know, that was never part of it. It didn't come, like the rapture didn't come until, you know, the 19th century when someone says, oh, this is what this means. And so people have been doing that all the time. And Protestants, you know, a lot of times when they deal with Book of Revelation, they'll sit there and quote things, and they'll say something like, you know, Rome is the whore of Babylon, and these are the reasons, you know. And so you just have to smile at people and think, okay, if that's what you want to go with, go for it, you know. And but my thing is, in the midst of the darkness that's in the world today, we need to be bringing the light of Christ. We just need to be doing it. And sometimes his light is hard, absolutely, but it's also always, even if it's hard, it's a light of hope. And so, but again, you can never argue, well, you can argue, but it isn't great when you're trying to argue with someone who doesn't believe as you do, and you can say, well, you know, those prophecies aren't true, they already happened, and they'll say, well, you're full of it, you know, back and forth, because everybody's right, of course. So, but the biggest thing, if he's a friend of yours, you keep praying for him, and if there's certain things that you think he's way off base, then you go and do some research on that. And there's so much online, like if he uses Isaiah, you go and you go to a place, a Catholic prophecy, I mean, Catholic, you know, that'll help you with scripture commentaries, and you go there and you say, no, this is what it means. So you just don't say, well, that's wrong. You show him why it's wrong and the history of it. That would help. Does
right.
that help?
That is, yes, because that's been one of the key things that I think a lot of people, when they bring up Isaiah or Jeremiah, that they kind of forget that that has been already completed in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I think that's probably a good thing to kind of highlight that, you know, that's already been done. And then
sure.
try to highlight that Revelation was talking about Rome as the Rome capital of the world.
Exactly.
Then, not about the Vatican.
Exactly. So the more you get biblical scholars that support you, the better off you are.
All right. Well, I appreciate
All right.
it.
Thank you for calling us. God bless you.
Just getting started on an open line Thursday. The number's 1-800-585-9396. It's toll-free anywhere in the United States and Canada, even Kansas City. 1-800-585-9396. Open line Thursday with Father Larry.
It's the main event for us. We've really enjoyed our family.
I needed a place to pray.
Which is not easy to find in our house.
Yes, our hands are full, but our hearts are even fuller.
They are families that have realized the importance of the Lord as the center of their family.
A lady of the way.
Progressing that is amen.
Praying as a Family, Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern on EWTN-TV.
Do you Roku? Roku is a small black box that allows you to instantly stream EWTN to your TV. All you need is a high-speed internet connection, a TV, and the Roku player. For more, visit EWTN.com/Roku.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchuk.
A colleague recently said to me, "You Catholics are all codependent." He was referring to the Catholic value of sacrificing for the good of others, and like many people, he confused codependency with what's more properly called redemptive suffering. And there's a big difference. Redemptive suffering is the pain you endure when you stand up for what's good and just. If you challenge me about an injustice I've committed, you might suffer because I'm upset with you, and I might suffer because I'm being challenged to change. But that suffering is redemptive because you're strengthening your backbone, and I'm getting a chance to be a better person. But codependence is Satan's plagiarism of redemptive suffering. It's when you suffer because you don't stand up for what's good and just. If I behave unjustly and you don't challenge me because you just don't want the trouble, we'll all suffer, but that's not redemptive suffering. That's codependency, and there's nothing faithful about it. I'm Dr. Greg Popchuk, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Hi, this is Anna Mitchell, host of the Sunrise Morning Show.
This is Jeanette DiMello, host of Register Radio.
This is Doug Keck, EWTN President and Chief Operating Officer. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question or comment, call 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Guess what, Father Larry?
What, Jack?
I just found out from our good friends, the Ropers here in Kansas City, they don't listen to the program. Can you believe that?
Oh, smart.
Can you believe that? Some nonsense about having a job. I didn't get the whole gist of the story.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
They just don't want to listen to me. That's the reality, and that's
like
okay.
1-800-585-9396 is our toll-free number. Next stop, Detroit, Michigan. Christine's in Motown listening, or she's actually watching on YouTube. Hi, Christine. You're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Christine.
Hi, Father Larry. I have a question for you.
Okay.
Back to the church about a couple years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I had been away many, many years, and
okay,
I noticed that I make the sign of the cross a few more times during Mass than some of my parishioners.
Okay.
So, and I'm wondering if that is wrong.
No. You can make a sign of the cross 1,000 times if you want.
Okay.
That's fine. The traditional times at Mass are the beginning and the end. You begin with the sign of the cross when the priest says, "Let's begin in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit," and at the end when he blesses you. Now, some people bless themselves when they go to communion. There's always a threefold sign of the cross during right before the gospel. May the Lord be in my mind and my lips and in my heart. And you make three sign of the crosses over there.
After the Confiteor, some people, when he's...
Yeah, I do that. Yeah, but that's not in the thing, but I do it all the time too. But I don't think that's in the rubric.
When I was little, and I don't know if it was because of my age, like after Vatican II, after the consecration, you know, when the priest says, you know, "This is my body."
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then sometimes some of the churches here still play the bells, and I would make...
Oh, we do our bells, sure, absolutely.
Yeah, I would make the sign of the...
Yeah, it's not required. You can do it. There's no problem with that, but it's not one of the required times you need to make the sign of the cross at Mass. But again, it's a very pious custom. It's fine to do that. You don't have to feel weird or anything. You're most welcome to do stuff like that.
Thanks, Christine. We appreciate the phone call. Your phone cut out there a little bit. We apologize for that, but thank you so much for the phone call. We head to Atlanta, Georgia next. Lisa's in Atlanta listening on Ablaze Radio. Lisa, what's your question today for Father Larry?
Hello, Lisa.
Hi, Father Larry.
What's up?
I'm considering, I'm trying to discern what to do with my youngest daughter. She's the youngest of four.
Uh-huh.
They're lifelong Catholics. Uh-huh. However, they had a 23-year marriage that ended in divorce and annulment.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's only 2 years ago, and the kids have adjusted as well as kids can adjust to that.
Uh-huh.
But I'm trying to decide whether to send her to a Christian hybrid school.
Mm-hmm.
And because I just think that in general, you know, this is Baptist country down here, and most of the people that I know that are Protestants are just very kind-hearted, loving people.
Sure.
And they have a relationship with Christ.
Sure.
And that's what, and my oldest daughter is out of the church because the Catholics were so, you know, judgmental, and I've heard you talk about this before. That's what she experienced.
Sure.
And my second daughter is, you know, at the stage of, well, how do we really know the church is the true church and all that?
Sure,
so she's going through a thing now. But this child is 10, and so if I can teach her, or if I can set an example for prayer and love for Christ, a relationship with this real living Jesus that we say we believe in, but many times we don't act like we believe.
Sure.
But I don't want her to be pulled away from the true faith either.
And the best way to
not in control of all this.
Exactly.
If you
keep praying for her, especially send a rosary, that is a great thing. And bring your other kids back through the rosary too. But another thing you do is that, you know, the first thing is always to raise them Catholic or send them to a Catholic school if possible. If not, a Protestant school or a Christian school would be better than a public school. Usually. But one of the things you do is you got to teach her at the same time to be in relationship with Jesus Christ is to be relationship with his whole body, which is the church. So it is a true relationship with the true Jesus as manifested in the fullness of his body, which is the Catholic Church. It has the fullness of it. And that's where you talk about, you know, the power of the Eucharist and, you know, especially these readings these days, which was talk about the I am the bread of life. If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will live forever. So you build on what she will learn with the reality of the fullness of the faith, especially with the Eucharist. Because once someone falls in love with the Eucharist, they'll never leave the Catholic Church. But it's helping them to know the power and the presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. So that's what I'd encourage you to do. Make sure you teach her those things through your example. Does that help?
Okay, that's true. Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
There you go.
I appreciate your time.
God bless you, Lisa. Thanks for calling
us. All right, God bless you.
That frees up a line for you at 1-800-585-9396. Next up is Mike. He's driving through the great state of Iowa, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Mike, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Mike.
Hello, Father. I need your help and advice, please.
Okay, what's up?
I'm a Roman Catholic since birth.
Okay.
But I'm feeling as if when I say my prayers or say a prayer for someone or add someone to my prayers, I'm not doing it right. I don't do it as good as, like, you would do or someone else would do.
Okay.
I find that hard to believe, Mike.
Yes, exactly. The biggest part about prayer, Michael, is not talking but listening. And so that's the thing that most people never incorporate into their prayer life. That's why they never feel like, you know, it's kind of like they're just going through the motions of saying things. And I just read something by C.S. Lewis the other day, and it says, if that's your whole prayer life, it's no different than a parrot, because a parrot can sit there and say things over again and again. So the difference between us and parrots is that we enter into relationship. And so as we enter into this relationship, it's always relationships are always talking and listening. So you're doing a great job in talking and bringing these things and making sure you say your prayers. But then at the same time, you got to make sure you listen. So you need time to be alone. And if you struggle with listening, Mike, I'm telling you the best way to do it is by reading the Bible. When you read the Bible, you're listening to God. But you don't read it for your head. You read it from your heart. So every time you go to read the Bible, you pray to the Holy Spirit, and you ask Him to reveal His Word to you. And you slowly read the Bible until God speaks to you. And then you stop and you talk to Him about that. That'll take you to the next level in your prayer life, Mike. It just will. Is that helpful?
Yes, Father, and I thank you. I
thank you for calling. And we'll pray for you, Mike. Keep going. You too. God bless you.
Thank you.
1-800-585-9396 is our toll-free number. We'll head next
toll
to St.
Toll-free.
We'll head next to St. Charles, Missouri. Cindy is in St. Charles listening to Sirius XM Channel 130. And, Cindy, we St. Louisans need to stick together because we're surrounded by Kansas Cityites over here. Help me out.
I'll tell you.
Okay, well, hi there, and thank you for
hi,
taking
Cindy.
My call.
What's
hi
up?
My question is, I just need some clarification, and I've been born and raised Catholic.
Okay.
That our good Lord judges us when we die, physically die.
Yep.
And then every time I pray the Nicene Creed, He judges the living and the dead.
Yep. The way the church has always taught is with the moment you die, we call it a particular judgment. That's the moment that you're sent to heaven, hell, or purgatory. The final judgment is when it's a final judgment for all the world. So everybody sees who goes where and everything else. You know, now, again, we separate that in theology. But in God's time, since everything is now to God, it can happen in an instant. You know, like Pope Benedict talked about, you know, purgatory. You know, when people talk about, oh, I'm going to be in purgatory 1,000 years, purgatory could be an instant. We're taking things that are eternal, and we're trying to explain them in a way that's maternal. It's very hard material. We can't do that. So, but again, though, the traditional, and again, you can read some more about this at EWTN.com and Catholic.com, and or just put in there the particular judgment and the final judgment and how that's explained in a better way. But one's personal and one is for the whole world to see. Does that help?
So am I, like, being judged individually once and then being judged for the whole world to see?
Yeah, well, kind of like for instance, if you sit there and you die and you're in a state of grace, you go right to heaven. So you're not going to be judged again, right? So it's already there. But this way, at the end, when Jesus says He's coming back and, you know, everybody's before Him, that's when He talks. This is all in Matthew 25. And as He does this, everybody comes and He says, get out of my sight, you condemned, or He says, come, you who are blessed by my Father. So that's where the final judgment is for everybody. The particular judgment is when you die and you face Jesus yourself, and that's when you're really judged. And there'll be there'll be some people that when the final judgment comes, that'll be their particular and final judgments because they'll die at the end of the time.
I understand that concept, but so if I die and I go to purgatory,
yep, you're going to heaven.
And then Christ, and I'm still in purgatory or wherever.
Yes.
And then Christ comes. Can He release me?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But the promises of Our Lady with the rosary and different things is you can get out the Saturday after you die, the first Saturday after you die. So keep praying.
1-800-585-9396. Talking the new evangelization on an open line Thursday with Father Larry Richards.
Catherine Zeltner.
There are so many misconceptions when it comes to abortion and assisted suicide. It's really confusing, and I think for a lot of people, they don't know how to talk about these things. EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, we help to change that. We help to really untangle these web of lies. Listeners can expect to become informed and then grow more confident so that they can then discuss and dialogue these issues, and together we can really impact culture in that way.
EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on EWTN Radio.
Check out EWTN's official YouTube channel.
Just follow the link on our homepage at EWTN.com or go to YouTube.com/EWTN.
Watch EWTN's live shows or today's homily from the Daily Mass.
Click the upload button to see our most recent clips.
You can also find all of EWTN YouTube content by clicking the playlist button.
It's all on the official EWTN YouTube channel at YouTube.com/EWTN.
Visit today.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
We used to be in a peanut business, the sisters and I. This was in the 60s. And we did very well. We had machines that bagged and put the peanuts in. And we had big orders. And one was from Daytona Racetrack. And so we did that a couple of years. And so the concessionaire was changed. So the new concessionaire comes to me and he says, you make great peanuts. It'll cost you a little advertising fee. I said, you mean kickback? I don't care what you call it, but that's what it is, kickback. I don't pay kickback. He said, well, then you'll lose our business. I said, sweetheart, if I'm going to hell, it's not going to be on a peanut.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question or comment, call 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@EWTN.com.
We're talking the new evangelization on an open line Thursday. Father Larry Richards is in the house. The number's 1-800-585-9396, or you can text your question to Father Larry. Text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Type your first name and your question. Message and data rates may apply. Next stop, Uniontown, Ohio. Janet's in Uniontown listening to EWTN Radio. Janet, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Janet.
Hi, Father Larry. Hi, Jack.
Hi.
Oh, he loves when you say that to him. Keep saying it. Go ahead. What's up?
I have a question. One of my boys, his name is Jack.
Okay, oh, there you go.
Brilliant child, obviously.
He thinks he is.
So's Jack.
He is 19, almost 20.
Okay.
And his girlfriend is 19. They've been dating about a year and a half, I believe. She was baptized Lutheran.
Mm-hmm.
After her parents divorced when she was very, very, very young, they really quit going to church. And so religion has not been a part of her life since she could ever remember.
Okay.
And a couple months ago, she texted me and she said, you know, I really have been wanting to have a closer relationship with God, mm-hmm. and I'm wondering if you can help me do that. Mm-hmm. And she said by becoming Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're planning on getting married someday, and
sure.
she would... My boys have all said, you know, they're going to be Catholic and raise their kids Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, sure. So I got her a Bible. I put tabs in it. And I several times, I know one time we had kind of planned on Friday nights, you know, to sit down and talk about stuff.
Things.
And when I asked her what questions she had no idea because she said, I don't know anything. She said, I don't know what questions I have.
Okay.
So she goes to church with us on Sundays,
mm-hmm.
And I can tell she is getting, because she's not really kind of making herself available to talk about, because I had suggested, you know, why don't we talk about the gospel before Sunday? And there's usually something that comes up where she can't.
Sure.
And I can tell that it's, even though she's still going to church, she is feeling overwhelmed, I think.
Yes, I would let her, I would pull back.
Catholic radio.
Yes, Catholic radio, but you can also do things like the CDs, you know. Does your parish have Lighthouse Media in the back of the church?
Yes.
Okay, so, like, there's some basic stuff, you know, like on the Mass. I have the Mass explained back there. There's other things on the Mass. That you pick those up and you say, hey, why don't you listen to this on your own time if you're interested. If you want more, I can get you some more. Or she can go online and, you know, a lot of that's my stuff I have out there, which is funny and different things and confession. Get her to understand what she's doing first before you start taking those other things. So, like with the Mass explained, she'll understand what the Mass is about when she goes and where it comes from and why there's Eucharist and why you receive the Eucharist, why people can't receive the Eucharist and all that kind of stuff. Just basic, basic stuff. But I have found a lot of people listen to things in their own time when they're driving or different things, and then they'll have questions to ask later, as opposed to what do you have to say? You have any questions? No? Okay. And so that's the best thing, is give her some stuff that'll cause her to have questions. And there's a lot of stuff out there.
What about, you know, I heard you say a little bit ago when I was leaving work and I turned on the radio and I heard you say something about that people need to know the love of Christ first before we get into all the facts and everything about our faith.
Well, but see, that's the whole point.
How do I do that?
The Eucharist is the greatest way that God proves his love for us, that he feeds us with his own precious body and blood. So if you want her to know that basic, basic stuff, that's about prayer. You know, so you can share with her how you've experienced Jesus. And again, if not, I have a CD at my stuff called Prayer that'll actually take her through a prayer experience. It's a 20-minute, you know, you're quiet, you let Jesus hold you, you tell Jesus you're sorry, you surrender your life to him, and then you say, Jesus, hold me. And then you spend 3 minutes to 5 minutes in his arms, and then you end by saying an Our Father. That's so people can experience the love of God. So you can do something like that, or you can get a CD that where I do that for the hour, and I tell them this is what prayer is about, and it's all about coming to know that you're loved by God. But you don't have to get my CD for that. You could do that yourself if you have a prayer experience like this, to teach her how to pray. But most especially, teach her how to experience Jesus in prayer, not just saying a bunch of words.
So you said you have a CD called Prayer?
A CD called Prayer. All you have to do is you can go to go to my website at fatherlarry.com, which is the reason for our hope.org, but Father Larry will get you there, and you just go to media, and it's a thing on prayer. And it's it'll exactly help her to experience the love of Jesus. And some people go through it every morning and every night because it'll actually tell her how to pray. Okay, this I'm going to do it with you now. So here you go. And so she can go and do it right with me, right on the CD.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for calling us. God bless you.
Have a good day. God bless
you. Thanks, Janet.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
We head to the Republic of Texas. Will is in Frisco, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Will, what's your question today for Father Larry?
Hello, Will. Where are you? Where's Frisco? Where is that down in Texas?
It's in North Texas, a little ways north of Dallas.
Okay. I'm going to be down in Texas City here in two Saturdays for a men's conference. I think that's a little bit farther south, though. I'm flying into Houston for it. So what's up, Will?
Yeah, so this is just something that has been on my mind lately.
Okay.
I have a girlfriend that we've been dating for a little bit over a year, and we're both Catholic, and we go to Mass with each other every Sunday, and typically we always just hold hands in the pews, but we're not talking to each other the whole time or anything like that.
Sure, I get it.
Just the holding hands.
But, sure.
The past couple Masses, I've decided to just kind of test the waters with not holding hands and seeing how it changes my experience at Mass, and I've noticed that I feel like I've been a lot more in tune with the service, and I felt that it's helped me to be more reverent.
Okay.
But I can tell that for her, it feels like I'm maybe withholding affection
exactly.
or something like that.
Yep.
So I just wanted to sort of get an opinion on whether it would be considered irreverent to hold hands with a significant other during the Mass, or
it would not
just,
be considered
irreverent. I can. Oh yeah,
yeah.
Just ways that I can
sure.
make sure that we're both being pious.
Absolutely. Again, you can hold hands. That isn't a problem. But if you pray better without holding hands, that's what you need to say. But at the same time, women. You know, they're different than guys. Women are very much, they want to have a physical, you know, like girls would like to cuddle. Men don't like to cuddle. Normally, maybe Jack did, I don't know. But most guys don't like to cuddle, but women do. So you got to make sure that while you're with her, that you're at least looking at her every once in a while and telling her after, oh, I love you or whatever, so that she's experiencing your love. But at Mass, she should be experiencing more Jesus' love. Now, if you ever get married, the primary sacrament for each other, the way you both would experience Jesus is through one another. That's what the sacrament of marriage does, that you experience Christ through your spouse in a very real way. You know, but you gotta, you know, part of a relationship is you're always putting the other person in front of you. So, as you be the spiritual leader, you want to sit there and lead her to Christ more, but at the same time, you want to fulfill her needs. Not her wants, but her needs. So, you need to talk about that more is what I would do. But it's not irreverent to hold the hand of your wife or your girlfriend. Does that help? Hello?
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay, does that help? Did you get it?
Yes, thank you so much.
Okay, God bless you.
Thanks, Will. Appreciate it. That frees up a line for you at 1-800-585-9396. We head to Kansas City, Missouri now. Like, we don't have enough Kansas City people on the show right now.
They're everywhere.
Lisa's
They're everywhere.
In Kansas City listening on KEXS. Lisa, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello.
Hello, Lisa.
Hi, Father Larry.
What's up?
Well, I was born and raised Catholic. I just uh-huh. never got the Eucharist.
Okay.
Into just recently to the RCIA program. And
okay.
my fiance is Catholic. And mm-hmm. now he's talking about he wants to step away from the Catholic Church and look other options. And I just feel at home. And I just don't know, like, what to really do because my family is Baptist, and he really wants to go Baptist, and it's like,
okay.
I finally felt home, and I'm like, I don't really want to leave the Catholic Church, and now
sure.
I'm like,
well, I think the biggest thing to do is when you're talking to him is saying, okay, let's look at objective truth, not what you feel like, because feelings mean absolutely nothing in following Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And you got to make sure that you both know that. I always tell people, I could care less how you feel. Don't even tell me I don't care. And they go, that's not nice, Father. I go, it is, because when we reduce our relationship with God to a feeling, then it goes up and down, and we can turn away and walk away, and we can go to this church, because after a while in the Baptist church, you'll find out they're just like everybody else, and he'll go, oh, I don't like it here either. So I always say when it comes to a decision about Christ, it has to be, let's look at what's true. Let's look at the Eucharist. Is it true if it's not true? If it's true, he says, if you eat my body and drink my blood, you will live forever. If it's not true, then you need to run away from the Eucharist, period. And so you got to look and do some study in that. So that's what I would encourage him. Let's focus on what's true, not what we feel like. And then you can do and read some stuff together on the faith or different things. But you need to focus on what's true, not how you feel. And I think a guy would respond to that well, too, if you hit him with that.
Because he wants to raise the kids Catholic and everything when we have kids.
Yeah,
I'm like, why not just get married in the Catholic Church? He goes, I don't know. It just seems
if you don't
awful.
Get married in the Catholic Church, it's invalid.
Yeah, so I told him. And he's like,
sure.
I know. He's like, I'm like, come on now.
I don't think he knows, Lisa.
Yeah. How old is he?
We're both 30. So.
Oh, tell him it's time. That's a 20-year-old thing. Tell him to stop it. It's time to move on. Oh, 30 years old. That's a kid thing, for goodness sake. So,
yeah, that's
but again, focus on truth. Truth, truth and then do study and say, listen, because again, that's the way I came to Christ when I was young. I could care less the way I was brought up. It doesn't matter, because I could have been brought up Jewish. I could have been brought up an atheist, but I want to know what's true. And when you focus on what's true, it'll always lead you to the Catholic Church. It'll always lead you to the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. So that's the point. So focus on truth, and then God
will do. That'll be our conversation tonight. Thank you so much.
There you go. God bless you, Lisa. Bye bye.
God bless you too. Bye bye.
You know, Father Larry, do you know why the Ropers are really here?
Why?
So that Bob can go shopping at EWTN Religious Catalog.
Whoa, there you go. Like heaven on earth.
Kelly was sharing with me earlier. He's got a real shopping problem, and she's been trying to get it under control. But there's a catalog shop right here in the building. But if you're not here in the building with us, you can visit EWTNRC.com. EWTN's Religious Catalog is your online destination for Catholic books, DVDs, rosaries, devotionals, and just about anything else you could think of.
And they're all great things. And when you purchase from them, it allows Jack to continue to work for EWTN.
That's exactly right. It supports the mission here at EWTN. If you're ready to shop, visit EWTNRC.com. We might even have a book in there by Father Larry Richards.
And
it always
amazes
me
that
you wrote a book before you read a book. That's amazing to me.
It's unbelievable.
We're heading to Metairie, Louisiana next. Regina's in Metairie listening on the Almighty's 690 in New Orleans. Regina, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, hi, Regina. I was just down there about a month ago, huh? Were you there?
I was not. I actually didn't find out you were here until last night
when
I heard the rebroadcast of this show.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I was there all week. We had a fine time there. So what is up?
I wanted to call and tell you thank you.
Oh, thank you.
I usually listen to it rebroadcast in the evenings.
Uh-huh.
But I heard you this little while ago tell this woman that when you fall in love with the Eucharist, you never leave the Catholic Church.
Exactly.
And it's so true and powerful that I just had to call and thank you for sharing that. I was away from the Catholic Church for 10 years.
Wow.
And I had several Protestants try to... Oh, I still considered myself Catholic, but I was not living my life as a Catholic.
Sure, sure.
I had several Protestants say, oh, well, come on over to come to our church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's okay with us. The Catholics, you know, they're too strict.
Mm-hmm.
And it always came down to the Eucharist, that there was no point in me joining their church because they don't believe the fundamental thing that I still did believe.
Exactly.
That's
the biggest thing. Absolutely.
And
great.
The Holy Spirit just kept working in my life.
Sure. What a grace that God has for you. What a great grace. You got to be very thankful to God for giving you that grace. Absolutely. Well, great job. Keep praying, Regina.
I'm back with the church fully. And
bless God.
I fall more in love every day.
Bless God. Me too. Let's hope we continue to do that.
So God bless you, and thank you so much.
Thank you for calling us. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Next up is Barbara. She's in Loveland, Colorado, listening on Denver Catholic Radio, which is actually part of the same Kansas City group that the Ropers are part of here as well.
Wow, there you go.
Barbara, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Barbara. Oh.
Hi, Father. I hope you can answer this one.
Let's hope.
I'm headed out to China in a few days to meet my new in-laws.
Okay.
My son married a young Chinese woman, and he's living and working over there.
Okay.
Now, if the question of our religious faith comes up, understanding that they're all atheists and that I will need to be speaking to my daughter-in-law who will be translating,
okay,
how do I begin to explain my faith in a very simple way?
Again, I always think, you know, years and years and years ago when I was an ecumenical minister in the Grand Canyon it was an ecumenical ministry in the Grand Canyon, and there was Catholics and Protestants, and we all did our thing there. And I'll never forget this Episcopalian girl came up to me, and our group, we were all going out, and she says, do you know what Jesus did for me today? And I remember sitting there thinking, what do you mean, what did Jesus do to you? Like you talk to him, like you know Jesus? And it floored me, because I would always talk about religion and da-da-da, and you know, and I'd talk about what you got to do, follow the rules. And here was a person who knew Jesus, personally. And she was talking to him every day, and I'm thinking, why talk to him? He doesn't talk back. So the best thing to do when you're talking with atheists or anything else, the first time if it comes up, is say, oh, I love Jesus, you know, and he's so real to me, and because he did all this. And you don't make it about, you know, because you can fight about philosophy and church, but it's hard to fight about relationship. You know, and again, it's our relationship with Jesus is personal, but it's also communal. You know that he comes and does this, but the biggest thing to do is just witness to them. And what I'd encourage you to do is to prepare them for that, meaning that you take their names and you put them on a paper and you start praying for them by name and your daughter-in-law by name every day. And then as you're praying for them, then when you get there, your main job is just to love them. And if you're asking the Holy Spirit to use you, if the Spirit, like today's a great day for this, because in the daily mass, the first reading from the Acts, Philip is there and it says the Spirit told him, you go and talk to that person. And he went and he talked to that person and he baptized him within an hour. It was unbelievable. But the Spirit's the one who led him. But if I were you, I'd start praying for them by name, put them on a piece of paper and pray for them, pray for them, pray for them. And when you get over there, just keep loving them, loving them, loving them. And when they see Jesus alive inside of you, they might even ask you, what is it that makes you so different? And then you can tell them about Christ. Does that help?
It does help. They're at the point where I don't even know if they know who Jesus is.
Well, exactly. But that's the whole point. But but a lot of them, like we have over here at our high school, we have a lot of people coming from China because a lot of them come over. And so they don't know even about the whole concept of God because it's so foreign to them. But like if you get over there and you go to church and that, and you know, they'll just sit there and say, why do you do that? And maybe they won't. Maybe they'll just have respect for you. But again, it mightn't happen at all this time, but it might happen on the years down. But if you're loving towards them, they're going to think, wow. This is what I want. That's going to speak volumes to them.
You know, Father Larry, your story about the Japanese prisoner of war comes to mind.
Exactly. That's exactly the correct one. That Japanese prisoner of war guy says, if this Jesus is anything like you, I can't wait to meet him. And so if you're like that, when you bring them, because you're bringing them Christ, you are being the light in the darkness, and that's a very real reality. And so you just bring the light of Christ to them, and then God in his time will bring them when he wants them. Okay?
Thank you so much, Father.
Thank you for calling us. Have fun in China.
Thank you, Father.
Sure. God bless you.
Next up, North Platte, Nebraska. Karen's in North Platte listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Karen, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Karen.
Hi, Father. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I have a two-part question. The first one is, I pray all the time, and I love to pray, and I pray for people and so forth. And I do try to have the quiet time where I really try to listen to what God's telling me. How do I learn to decipher what are my thoughts and what is God telling me? And then my second question is, when you talked about being judged on our final day, let's say you were on your deathbed and you were sorry for everything you've ever done and truly sorry.
Yep.
Are you still going to be judged?
Well, sure, but you'll be judged and forgiven, huh? I mean, we're all going to be judged, but some of the judgment will be to eternal life, right? He will come to judge the living and the dead. So when Jesus makes the final judgment in Matthew 25, he says, come, you who are blessed by my Father. And he says, get away out of my sight, you are accursed. So either way, we're judged. We're either judged to eternal life or we're judged to total damnation for all eternity, which we don't want to talk about. So that's the thing. But when it comes to your prayer, you know, the biggest thing about prayer is how you know God's voice and your voice is it takes discernment. That's why it's important that the spiritual writers have always talked about those who have themselves for a director, spiritual director, have a fool for a spiritual director, St. Philip Neri once said. And so, because it's hard, because the devil can also appear as an angel of light. But usually, the best way to find out is God's voice or our voice is if it brings you peace. Now, peace is different than joy or happiness. Peace might be, you know, like I was dealing with someone who has cancer, but they're very much at peace about it. They could die today. But they have peace about it. So it's that the voice of God in his will is our peace. So when you're listening, it'll bring you peace. It might be, you know, I want you to go talk to your sister who you haven't talked to in 5 years. And you have peace about it. But boy, you don't want to do it. You know? So that's usually the way to distinguish between your voice and God's voice. But again, it's always better if you can bounce it off somebody. And that's what a spiritual director. And And also the way to tell if, you know, you have to discern. It's a gift of discernment. The way you discern something is it has to be in line with the teaching of the church. You know, it has to be in line with the scriptures. Because let's say people pray and they say, well, God told me it's okay to leave my wife for this person. Well, no, God didn't tell you that, I promise you, because it's against his word. So you can play games all you want, but that's not discernment because it goes against his command, right? So that's the that help.
Yes, it does. I just sometimes feel like I'm asking God to do all these things rather than listen to see what he wants.
Oh, that's a big thing,
you know,
then.
To do.
You always need to have a listening heart. What do you want? Your will be done. And he says, okay, shut up so I can tell you my will, would you?
Correct. And I feel sometimes I don't have that peacefulness because I'm too busy asking.
Exactly. You must listen. Listen is, you know, I always say if there's a choice between listening and talking, listen.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Back to the Republic of Texas we go. Peter's in Fort Worth listening on Guadalupe Radio. Peter, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Peter.
How you doing, Father? A bunch of my buddies met you up in Idaho last year.
Great.
We're from Texas.
Oh, sure.
Anyways,
holy cow.
Anyway, that same kind of group of guys is going to join the Knights of Columbus. We wanted to get your take on it.
The Knights of Columbus, I'm a fourth degree. Knights are great guys. My biggest thing about them, though, is spiritual life must be the most important thing for a knight. So when you make your first degree, you're going to be given a rosary, and they'll say, carry this rosary every day. When I go to do men's conferences, I say, how many of you are knights? And they all hold up their hands, and I say, let me see your rosaries, and maybe 10% do. And I go, you're not good knights because you're not carrying your rosary. So the main thing isn't to make pancakes on Sunday. The main thing a knight does is pray. And if you do that and they do that, that's good.
Very good.
Does that help?
Very good. One quick question. Yeah, one
sure.
Great, absolutely. One great quick question real quick. We're also having a conference in Fort Worth on February 16th to the 18th. We're doing everything in our power to see if we can get you to come.
Well, God's willing.
What's the best way to get you?
Well, you just go to the foundation's website, Mary Therese. You just go to fatherlarry.com and it'll take you there. I'm going to be down there in 2 weeks at Texas City. You know, so is that where Oliver is? Are you a group with the Oliver?
No.
Oh, okay.
A group of an Irish group out of Fort Worth,
okay.
Texas.
Great job. Well, God bless you. And I'll gladly come down if I can do it. Yeah,
just
go to fatherlarry.com and you say, God bless. Bye-bye.
Or you can also go to thereasonforourhope.org.
.org.
My apologies to Pat in Wellington, Florida, but we are flat out of time. Father, would you be so kind as to leave us with a blessing?
Absolutely. Father, great God of love and mercy, bless everyone who hears us this day. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
It's okay if I cross myself now, right?
Yes, you can cross yourself.
Father Larry Richards has been in the house, and on behalf of him, our host, our producer, Elena Rodriguez, call screener Matt Gabensky, and our social media manager, Jeff Burson, I'm Jack Williams. Thanks so much for taking a little time out of your day to join us here on Open Line. Tomorrow, they're throwing me out of the studio. EWTN Theology Roundtable. Colin Donovan, along with David Gregson and Robert Klesko, will be talking about the 100-year anniversary of the apparitions at Fatima. Until we get together next Monday with John Martinoni, God bless.
Moment with Mother.
You're not supposed to put a shortwave network on the mountain. Matt took me up. He said, we got some land and we could buy about 200 acres, but it's in the wrong place. So we go up there. I get out of the car. I saw St. Michael just standing there. And I said, we'll buy it. He said, Mother, it's the wrong place. I said, we'll buy it. But you don't put shortwave networks on the mountain. I said, do you see St. Michael there? He said, no, we'll buy it. He said, okay. The first day we were on the air, we got a letter from Japan 2 weeks later saying, I got your signal. We weren't even aiming in that direction. And he said, I like your network for Buddhist prayer. I said, Buddhist prayer? With the rosary here. I said, let him say the rosary, Lord. He won't know.